Rasulullah said exactly when the carriage comes out. And he gets one sip of the mother's milk, that one sip makes him forget the entire world of 6 months to 9 months. He forgets there was a womb. He forgets that was warm. He forgets the food that he enjoyed. One sip of milk and he says, what is this? Then he looks around and he sees a new world, which he never thought would ever exist. Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the same manner, when the time comes for you believers to leave this world, and he also thinks that this world is heaven. When he was small, he never knew how big the world was. As we began getting bigger and moving on our own legs, and now we're in charge of many things, and now money is coming to us, now we are the bosses. Now if someone has to say die, even an old man doesn't want to die, look at a young man. You put an old man in the grave at the hospital. It's dropped all over his body. There is nothing left in him. Even that pretty nurse who comes to see him, he can't do anything with him. The moment you look up on his eyes, he's finished. You walk in that hospital and you ask, if you want to make a dua, may Allah need to die. He say, yes, he wanna make dua, I learn. He wonder what you gonna learn for, because you don't wanna die. Couple of times when I met old uncles, I told them, I don't know what you've got to see in this world. They're our daily. Don't take the wish, but we wait to die. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the people of Uhud. They had died in the second year of Hijri. Now he goes to them just before his death in the 10th year of Hijri, 8 years later. And whenever you go to Medina Munawwara and you go to see the martyrs of Uhud, then think of them. They must the best 8 years of the life of the world, man. They would have enjoyed 8 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They passed away in the battle of Uhud. They never saw the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, which was 8 or 6 years later. They never saw the final Hajj. They never saw the spreading of Islam. What and what they never saw. When he came to their grave, he said a unique thing. He said, oh my beloved brothers, how fortunate you were that Almighty Allah took you away 8 years ago. He said, you'll never have to see the exams and trials that we have to see. When you read that day, you think about it. And in every day, in every bayan, we are speaking about a new tribe which the old man never saw. In the past, if someone was to do haram, he had to make an effort. In today's sense, to do haram, there's no effort. Now, if you do halal, it's an effort. He tells that boy, don't press that button on the phone, that's all. But not to press it is very hard. Because that thing is only going deep, deep, deep. You can't leave it. Well then, in the past you never thought of that. There was a time when they said, what are we going tonight? We're going somewhere. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about a time. He said, when the evil of the Dajjal will reach its highest surge of the Dajjal power, he said, it will take one of such an era that a father, when he will come home, he will have to lock up his wife and his daughter. And I always wonder, how does a man lock up his wife? So in that era, the only way of locking up was a chain. That's the era came of the door. You lock your doors, you lock your gates, you lock everything, even put the alarm on. And he said, because he knows as soon as he sleeps, his wife and his daughter is going to go out looking for the Dajjal. And the Dajjal is first and even. Now I think about that narration. That okay, the daughter understood she's in another room. She'll wake up when the father's passed to sleep 12 o'clock and you all know it's happening. Those parties that take place. And you see so many girls 12 o'clock at night moving in Nikar and Prada. That Nikar is just to show that no one must see who I am. She's going. And then you got some boys, they go into the race, they also put the niqab on Farda. But if security sees them, they're going to ask who you, everyone's going on Farda. So I always knew that girl, she can go, but how can the wife go? How can a wife leave the bed of her husband? And she also goes out to the market. And then when we had the chance to meet certain friends and they spoke about what happens in the world, and they explained that there are such times that we are living in, where a wife got a desire that tries to go out. So all she does is she puts that tablet in her husband's coffee. And he drinks, he's gone. He will only wake up tomorrow, he said, when he wakes up, he said, what a lovely sleep. There was no wife next to him. He's also gone. The day he starts understanding, now he's locking the doors. That ever the people of the past never dreamt it could happen. In today's time, everything happens. Your child goes to toilet. In the past, it was in toilet, is protected. In today's time, in the toilet also, you can't. That phone leaves you nowhere. One of us spoke about the phone. We know the phone. In your salary it doesn't leave you, but in the toilet. The man in the toilet with this business. So in the toilet he's looking, his wife never left him in the toilet. He said, honey, I'm thinking of you. Message. He said, if you're eating a piece of cake, then leave a slice for me. That phone is that. And if you're having a cup of juice, then keep one cup for me also. So he sends the message back to her. At the moment doing some very dirty work, please advise. Then what will I send for you? My picture of what's happening. But in that toilet, the man got no privacy. Even in that toilet, they only need you. The era was never thought of in the past. Rasulullah said, you know, how fortunate you died here. Allah saved you. Then you will make a dua. You say, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمِ الْفِتْنَةِ Then Allah, when it's your intention to send a trial upon people which they were not married, then فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ Then rather let me pass away and I don't see that trial. Every trial would be. But always have this hope I die. If death has to come, there was a plague in one area, when the plague would spread in the past, out of the house would pass away. One died in the house. So normally when the plague hits, people start leaving the village in the hope that I can run away from death. So a great man was sitting and he's looking at the site where everyone is sucking up and the families are going. So he gave out a star and he said, oh death, speaking to the angel of death. It's amazing, you chasing after those who don't want to die. They're running and you're going for them. Sir, I'm sitting here for 20 years waiting to receive, you don't want to come to me. Sir, I want to die. Then Allah Ta'ala made it every one of us. We love to die. That's why we have been patient. But because we entered this world where we only saw the womb. So for us, there is no enjoyment besides us. Our enjoyment is the phone, it's the car, it's the pretty face. When you see the old uncle in the hospital, you ask him, what you got to love for? He got nothing. So then you explain to him that, you know when you pass away, what will happen? He says, your example is like an example of the old uncle, Chacha. As you are on the dead now, and the doctor is telling the family, go and take last salam. So he looked at his wife, her name was Rabia. So he says, Rabia, and he starts crying. Because he's thinking of 50, 60, 70 years or whatever, he's old. Rabia starts crying, too many years of good times. Although they had lost bad times, but when a person, amazing it is, when you're going to die, your wife will say, what a good man. While you are alive, then you never tell you good. When you're going to die, you always cry. So you need me. They come alive here. They could have cried when you were alive. You could do something, but then they take coffee, that they never do. When you die, you say, cry, Rabia, how many good days we had, no problems, everything. So then he looked here, he looked at his daughter, he looked at his son. After he comes back to Rabia, he said, who's going to look after my father? That's all. And he don't die. He's never been looking after anybody. He's so old. But now he said, who'll look after my father? Now he looks at his son. He said, you're no older, but don't care for me yet. Who's my father? And he's carrying on Rabia. So Almighty Allah now has certain mercies for his servant. So the giant king that Almighty Allah is saying, Chacha, your time is up now, come. But Chacha is glued and rock. So what will happen? Almighty Allah says to one poor of Jannah, one pretty girl, Rabia is old, 75. Suddenly he sees in front and curtain open. This is Barzakh, the world of the Yaq. That happens when you enter in the grave. Ulama has mentioned the marrow of Jannah starts when your eyes close. I saw this thing when I go in the grave now to wait in the day of Qiyamah, thousands of years. What do I do there? The marrow of Jannah starts in the grave. The food of Jannah starts coming to you now. Taste this coming in Jannah. Taste this coming in Jannah. In every session of Jannah, of the grave, the angels will continue providing to the person something he will experience in Jannah. And as they give it to him and he says, wow, what is this? Then the angel will tell him, my friend, to the value of over 100 plus you will get it. And then he says, when is Jannah coming? He says, relax, relax, sleep again. And then he wake up again, they provide something else, he takes it, he says, wow, what is this? He says, coming in Jannah. They will open up windows, he will look at Jannah. They will take him in the birth of Jannah. As he flies around the gardens of Jannah, they say, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. What a world it will be when man dies. You will be able to meet his family, they will talk. Different people will ask different things, whatever interests you. Amazing, one person will ask, who won the cricket match? Whatever, but, yeah, it's Jannah. The world of the grave. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about one person. When I read that hadith, I said, this is definitely a Gujarati. Only then asked that. As one person dies, then all the people, the inmates of Jannah, they come around to Jesus like on a chair. Because he's like the newest of the law. So they will all come and ask him, like, what's happening in the world? Tell us the latest news. Because there's no Google and internet. They need it from here. So whoever dies now, they come and ask him, what happened with that uncle? What happened with that teacher? What happened there with that shop? So as he's talking, he tells this person, when I left, your son is doing this business, your son was doing this, your daughter was married, this happened. And they're all getting happy. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and one person, most likely a woman, she will ask him, did my husband get married after I died? The amazing thing that we show about marriage, you never understand how women are so possessive of their husband. Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to Rasulullah before he passed away. But during those last few days, she could see that she was in a state of difficulty. Because of that, whenever he walked past her house, as though he ignored her. Because of the great pain she was going through. So Aisha r.a. what she did, she told a slave girl that put on my head something very tight, like a bandage. And I was slept by the door, and when Allah's Nabi comes, I was like, ah. Oh. So immediately he had to look in. He said, like, so he asked, what's wrong? You don't know how my head is feeling. And immediately he entered. So when he entered, he smiled because he knew he was a trick just to get. So then he laughed. And he said that maybe your head is paining, which is a made up story. He said, only if you knew how my head is paining. So thereafter he said, oh my beloved wife, what worry you for? Because even if your head is paining and you pass away, he said, I will make your janaza. I will make dua of your grace. I will ask Almighty Allah to do everything for you. He said, but what will happen to you if I have to pass? How will you live your life without your husband? The Nabi of Allah every day came to your house. And now you will live alone. Now there will be no son entering your house. Aisha radiallahu anha would read poems. He would say, the world was his own son, and I got my son. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when the son of the world steps, meaning Maghrib time, that's when my son is to be riding. So he comes home at night. He said, that son of yours will be gone. Your life will be in darkness. How will you ever manage? So rather you pass away first. It will be easy instead of me passing away. So amazing, Aisha radiallahu anha, she spoke for the women of the world and how they hold onto their husband. She said, I am sure if I pass away, And within a few days, you get married to another woman and bring her in my house. He said, I'll never allow that. You are the part of it before me. Who would ever say that? But she said it. Spoke to the world. Because one auntie, she asked her husband, you love me. He asked her, you love me. She said, obviously, why are you asking the super question? So then the most important question is, will you marry after? And amazing, every woman, you ask her, will you marry after me? Her answer is no. So when they don't put after that, you always have to be lying. They got to get married. So she said, never. So then he asked her, so what will you do if I die? So she said, I will stay with my sister. Okay. They get married. Now she asked me, you love me? So I'm going to say. She said, obviously. So she said, will you get married if I die? Now every man also says no, but the wife may say, you lying. So when she asked, I don't understand. So they all asked. So she asked him, will you get married? So he said, no. So then she said, so what will you do if I die? You're not going to get married. He had no answer. He said, I will stay with your sister. That Teta was going to pass away now. And then Rabia is right there. And now I'm making a lie today to Teta, I sent to go. But Chacha don't want to go. Because Chacha thinks that after the womb there is nothing else. He cried when he came out of the womb because he thought there's no world. Now when he's in the world, he thinks there's nothing better on the other side. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, this world is like the wing of a mosquito. Almighty Allah has no regard for this world. The mara of Jannah starts as soon as the eye closes. That's the mara. And then it's Jannah. We love for death. Why are we in this world pushing ourselves? Every day got its own difficulty, got its own sickness, got its own worry, got its own fear. But that man who starts loving this world, and he gets so trapped and caught up as though this is everything. Fareeduddin Attar was a man who threw Peter Attar. Almighty Allah wanted him to change. So he used to tell Peter, will you have very expensive? Peter is not like a three by 20 and etc. In countries only they trade that a small amount will be. Dinars and dinars, gold coins will buy this, will buy that. So his heart is in every bottle of his Peter. So Almighty Allah said to him, a man to ask him that, oh Farid, that I see you enjoying your shop here. But are you pretending to leave this world? You are told, are you ready? When a man is in business, he doesn't even listen. If a Tabligh Jamaat comes to someone who's busy, then he tells him, my friend, I'll meet you in the program after Maghrib, don't trouble me now. So Farid became upset with the man. He said, you know how busy I am. If you want to buy something, buy it, otherwise just get lost. So the man said to him, I only came to ask you one thing. He said, you know, your soul is not in the body. He said, your soul has entered into every bottle of your self. The sum of your soul in that bottle, that bottle, that bottle. He said, so when the angel of death comes for you, he won't be pulling out your soul from your body. He'll be pulling it out from bottle after bottle after bottle. Rasulullah has often described an adult believer as a part of it. That the soul clings to every part of the body. As the Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Rahimullah, he explained the happenings of the soul. And he said, sometimes you see when you get cut, why do you feel pain? He said, you feel pain because you have a soul here, roof. And the soul has become so used to the part of the body. Now when you cut it, it has to move right. On that slight movement of separation, the body says, I don't like to separate. But when the time of death comes, it will not only be one piece of soul moving. But from the feet, wherever that soul has now grown, it will have to move. So as the soul moves a little bit from that last toe, the body will have to say, But while that's moving, the soul is slightly above it, it's also moving. Rasulullah describes that a disbeliever is more far away. So there are angels who start sitting in here with heaven. As they hit it, that soul goes up. And they hit again, that soul comes. They need to pull the soul out from the nose. So the Sahih radiallahu anhu most likely explains that you see that soul as it's moving, he said if you want to know the pain of death, then understand that man who at the same moment is getting cut with thousands of swords. As every sword hits that soul, you think, ah! So Rahim explained that the only reason that man who's dying doesn't scream in pain is because the body is in so much of pain that there's no amount of voice left. The body hasn't got it, so he just... Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before passing away, he's putting water on his forehead and he said, Wallah, the final moment of death is something unique. The heart will mount, the pain. On may Allah for the believers to calm their pain. On may Allah opens up. So Faleeruddin Attar, your soul is in every bottle of it. Now when that angel has to pull you out, you should be pulling you from where? Are you ready? So Faleeruddin said to that man, if you worry of your own life, then leave me. Said, you worry how you will die, don't worry of me. So the man said, I'll die very easy. Because my soul is in my body, it's not everywhere. And after saying that, he lied down in his shop. So he took him went behind around the counter to tell him, get out of my shop, like sleeping here. Then he's moving that person, the man is not moving, he passed over. He lied down, just covered his head, there and there he passed over. But when he took him, saw that day, his whole life changed. There are some people in the world who can leave the world like that. And there are some people who are grasped. They sit down as grasped to Rabia. Anyone who leaves, one may give Allah open the curtain. Now that Sita is saying, who will look after her? Then suddenly sorry, something happening there in front, Barzakh. The door opens, and Barzakh is beneath, you see wind blowing. And now you see a pretty girl coming. And as the wind is blowing, how the dress must be going. Now, Rabia is calling a princess, come fast, come fast. But it's not that he's dying, and the moment he's in the open world. So the Ra in the day of Ra, he forgot Dia. Now he's looking, his eyes get bigger. The person is passing, you see his eyes get bigger. When he's looking at somebody else, as he's looking, now he's wondering, what is this? This is what Almighty Allah to say that, you know what, after the moon there is something else. So the final moment will come when desperately whore will look at old Chetta like this and she'll say that. And if she has to make a kiss, oh, Chetta, you will pass away. At that moment Chetta will say, when he was asking who is look after Rabia, so at that moment he tell the angel of death, Allah will look after Rabia. Rabia went saying, Rabia was Rabia. Our death must be the most enjoyable time of our life. Rasulullah said to his Sahabi, you remember what I taught you? He said, the greatest gift that you will wait for is the gift of death. You will wait for desire. And it is those people, whoever who stood up for Islam, it was the first lesson that they had. I have not been created to love. I have been created to die. But that settled in their mind, it became different from everyone else. In Surah Kahf, Allah Ta'ala described that group of youth. There's a unique description because it explains society at large. That in every era there will be that group who moves in one direction. But you will find in school, you call it peer pressure. Whatever they wear, you must wear. If they wear socks, you will wear socks. Even if it's boiling hot. When you were small, if one day you never had socks, you were shy. The people will look at my feet. So even if it was hot, you wore socks. It never went through our mind that it's not the time to wear socks. And then a time came when the socks went half. So everyone wore half socks. A day will come when the sock will get a hole, everyone will get a hole. Amazing word that as they move, like how that one sheep moves and all the other sheep move, you ask the person why, he also don't know. You tell the person, I see you wearing sunglasses, but it's nice. So he also thinks for a while, I wonder why, but he won't take it out. Just because everybody else is waiting. If that cap has to be upside down, it's called a sun cap. It's supposed to protect the front of the head from the sun. If he turns that way, why? Because there's something wrong in his head. What was it that he started following? Blind following. But that man who was dead in front, suddenly he starts walking the other way. At the end of that Surah Kafir, Almighty Allah explained it. It's going to be unique in your era. Almighty Allah said the first thing is, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. He explained an error which you will enter after describing the people of the Kaaba. Kaaba means the cave. Those boys in that era, they lived at a time when magic and technology reached its height. Entertainment of their era, area was like the surplus land. They had a big empire, what we call the, what you call Soccer City, the stadium. So in the Roman Empire, it was from that era. Today they're just reliving it. And it has all its steps coming down, and it centers on the center stage. Today at that time they were not playing soccer. At that time they were much more barbaric, so they used to have what is called the Roman fight. So they used to bring gladiators inside. And thousands of people would come from far areas to watch one gladiator killing another. Now imagine a mother, a father and child are looking and you see someone slaughtering somebody else's throat. And in great time you see, oh, and at that time they were clapping. Today when you see it on TV, you also clap. At that time they were seeing it. And then you would see sometimes wild animals coming in. And you had a man of deen, religious. The Romans had caught him because he was practicing on a religion of a previous belief. They would never accept it. So they would throw him in the arena. They would give him a spear. And they would tell him, look after yourself now. One Nabi of Allah was thrown in an arena like that. Many were thrown and the lion would not be fed for 1 week. And then they went out. Daniel al-Islam was thrown in an arena like that. Almighty Allah then told Daniel al-Islam, you will enjoy the next 2 hours. So as the lion came in, instead of biting, the lion came and sat down around him as murid, as student. And the lion started licking him. In today's time, remember the sutra, if a lion licks you, you are napak. The lion's saliva is same like a dog's saliva. I would never have thought ever there was a need to mention the sutra, because where was ever a lion hit someone? But now that we have it, we went to another one friend's park. And there that one girl is playing with a lion like a cat. And the lion is enjoying, he's licking a whole burqa. So I told the father that, I can see your daughter likes cubs, but my father can't eat salano. So the girl was shocked, he said, this is a cat, not a dog. So in school even you learn the lion is a cat. Remember the masala of the saliva of a lion is the masala of the dog, and tigers and leopards, whatever it is. But that lion licked Daniel alayhi salam, and the whole crowd was shocked. Thereafter they freed him. But in those arenas they would see predators tearing people into pieces, and they would clap. At that area, these boys, they knew the entertainment of the time. They used to see people coming from far. Their town was what we call America of today, where a person from far would come to their town and buy a small statue. Just when he goes home, he tells the people, I visited the town. These boys, and amazing, the surah was for the rich. Because nowadays we found people who always say a person who comes from a poor environment, life is very difficult for him. But wallah, we found those that come from poor environments, they are much more protected than the ones who are coming from the rich environment. Rasulullah, when he saw the poverty of his sahaba, and they were waiting for money to come. So he said, wallah, it is not poverty I'm scared about. He said, I fear from the ummah the day wealth starts coming. At that time, he said it will destroy you like it destroyed the people of the past. And today when we are having this program, and he's speaking about the 10,000, 15,000 and phones, it's not that poor boy who's getting them. It's that God who got everything on him. He doesn't need to worry of anything. But we are seeing families breaking apart because the wife is involved with someone, the husband is involved with someone. It is not that poor family who are living on dal and roti. They are getting very happy. It's that rich man who got so much wealth coming. And instead of now saying, oh Allah, you have made my life so easy, I give my life for thee, that wealth is taking in the Jannah. Those boys were all from wealthy families. The boys of the Kaaba. Each one of them, their father was a selected minister of the king. So they grew up in affluence. Whatever they wanted, they could get. Like how me and you. You want your phone? He says, Daddy, I want the phone. In today's time, even that boy who says, I'm from a poor family, that poor doesn't exist anymore. Today, anyone what he wants, somehow or the other will come to him. The father will get it. Anyone. So those boys in that environment, Almighty Allah put something in their heart, and the Almighty Allah put it in mind and your heart. When I see a youngster sitting for a program, I say, amazing it is the magnet of Almighty Allah. So who would have ever thought a youngster himself will come to the masjid? What brings him to the masjid? And I said, oh Allah, that magnet which pulls those boys away, and it made them famous till the day of Qiyamah. They stood up against the environment of the time. You are focusing that madness on that boy and that boy. We know in our madrasa, we try and wake up a big person for Fajr Salah, we can't get him up. But that young boy doing him, 4 o'clock in the morning, he's reading his Quran. Who's waking him up? Shaitan would have said, I gave him whatever he could desire. I put corn on his phone. I put filth and dirt under his pillow. The television is there, the internet is there, everything is there. His father will give him whatever he wants. Suddenly that boy, you see, his daddy will become half of the Quran. And the mother will just go, what are you going to get out of it? I just want to become. Now he can become a doctor or a lawyer. He just wants to become an artist. The mother says, are you right in your head? But that boy wants to become. And another boy in the madrasa, his father brings him. And his father says, no matter what, don't send him home, I don't want him. He don't understand. And then I say, Allah, your magnet is a unique magnet. That one person, his mother and father, both want him out of the madrasa. But that boy says, I'm not leaving. So one magnet is. Those boys of some unique family, they stood up against the time. If death becomes our gift, then with a unique level you will stand up against the time. The first way to stand up Almighty Allah says that every word on your tongue be inshaAllah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Almighty Allah says you will see a time where the whole world will say, I do. It does. That does. Meaning a time of technology. In the past, if you needed your garage open, you tell your son, go open the garage. The regulation will press the button. The garage will open. The garage will close. On your voice, this will happen, that will happen. Today's time, everything is ready. There is no need to say, if Allah wills. So the man says to his son, I'll pick you up from school. The son says to his friend, the boy says to his friend, I'll meet you at the park. We'll go out here, we'll enjoy there, we'll do this. The word Allah will never be on the tongue. Why? Because the car is ready. Money knows how to drive. She's taking it. There's petrol in the car. The tire for air. Everything is ready. What will stop me reaching the park? But that one boy who got this, although he's going to the same park, he will also tell his friend, I'll meet you in the park, inshallah. And the other one say, I'll meet you in the park, and he never said, inshallah. What a small word it was. But Almighty Allah is saying, you will be from the people of the cave. That you will be unique in the environment you live. Why? On one thing, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you see a brand new thing coming. A new phone your father gave you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person who will read MashaAllah. MashaAllah means this is what my Allah allowed. From either no power. He says, in that phone you will inshallah never see something that will break you. Because a lot of times a lovely phone comes, you give it to your son. That phone either breaks the son, that is to start with the phone away from him. You saw it in Madrasa, you take your phone away from one boy, he'll cry more than I think he would have cried his mother passed. We need a law in the Madrasa, if you take your phone away, we'll carry. So we took that phone away, that boy did, he said, Mona, I'll buy my phone back. He's like, he, so I said, what a boy. He said, I'll do this, I'll do that. He said, okay, we'll expel you. He said, doesn't like an experiment. So I want a phone. So the one boy, with that phone, was so connected to a girl. So this is discussing today. Finally, that girl's mother was told, the only way to save your daughter now is to take away her phone. So the mother took away the phone. So this boy bought one brand new phone, he called it. He said, my only connection with you is the phone, now he got a phone again. So now the mother, she never know what to do, so she got her daughter married. So today I met that boy and I told him, how's life? He said, Mara, I'm dead. He said, she married. I said, how could she marry? She would always tell me she will never do that. He said, the mother forced her. He said, but the girl has to say yes to that. The boy was so sad when I looked at him. It's really like I got the person father part of him, he looked the same like him. Normally you go, you get started. You get started with your phone with your wife. Despite, one is that boy's heart breaks when he starts with his head. One is that phone breaks the boy. But when that very phone, he gets hooked onto such a channel that he takes him to Jannah. That is not to say, see, mashallah, when you get something. And inshallah, you will not see in the day that it will bring you. So the first lesson to be of the day is, inshallah, mashallah. Let's bring it on our tongue. Quran says, the second lesson is hold on to Quran. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ Whatever has come to you from your Allah, meaning Quran, read it. And that's what we see today. Many a time I explain to people, you see this maktab, we always send our child to the maktab to a certain age. During that time, because in that maktab the ustad makes him read Quran. Quran is like what you call an eraser. Whatever pulse shaitan puts in the mind, and in the heart, and it moves in the body, when Quran is ready, wipe it out. So Shaitan was hoping that in this era, after 10 years of porn and filth and dirt, and Hollywood and Bollywood and Disneyland, after 10 years, every one of us supposed to be atheist. There was not supposed to be one person taking the name of Allah. Because it brought the school. In the school, it fully got secular, meaning nature, that mother nature. And then it thought you were born for money. And then it thought it just happened like that. And then it was thought there was a bank. And then you were taught Napoleon, and then you were taught Shakespeare. And these were all shaitani elements. The masters and the murids of Dajjal and Shaitan. Shakespeare was of the highest level of the Satanist. He wrote satanic poison. So he was pushed in the school. Just so that as we pumped it in the next era there will not be one Muslim in the world. Because school and television and movies and phones and newspapers, where was Allah ever come? But they forgot that there was one thing left in this world which was called Quran. As that boy when he was young going to Quran, the Ustad was telling him, read. In that maktab, he never knew why he's reading. But every verse that he read, it would wipe off. It would wipe off the mind of dirt, it would wipe off the heart of dirt. That's why he's surviving. And that is why it's so important that when your child reaches that age when now you think school work is too much, let's take him out of the maktab. He already knows his Masail, no problem, he knows his Masail. But don't stop him from Quran. Even if you have to tell Mawana, my child now has learned enough Masail. But every day he must come to you to read one page of Quran. Just so that he carries on his Quran. Then he will shape on grab many people. The Quran was left. As soon as the Quran was left, then Shaitan starts pulling. And you find a person in university, he comes to you and he says, I doubt the existence of Allah. And our own friend, meaning a good family, comes. I said, when it happened, he said, as soon as I entered university in the first 6 months, the teacher put it to me in such a manner, how the world is formed. He said, I know it's wrong, but my mind is not accepting Allah. So I was telling him, because you stopped reading Quran. So the second one was inshallah, mashallah, which is not hard at all. The second is Quran, no matter what your age is, make sure you read even half a page of Quran, it will wipe out whatever for the day. Third, the worker says, what's there, nafsaka? But I want you to hold yourself in good company. Fine company. Every person gets attracted to a person who he likes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are certain people who your heart was telling the stand is connected with Allah. That when you hear him, you think of Allah. Your desire of the year after increases, your desire of the world decreases. Ila ukir Allah, when you see him, when you hear him, you start thinking of the year after. If you find that people and your heart gets attracted, then Quran said, now hold yourself in the company. What's there? Sabr means that sometimes shaitan tells you, leave it. As you sit in that company, a unique environment will spread over you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your example will be the example of a man who went to the men's center. When you are climbing, one of three things will happen. One is you will also want to buy the itself. Because as you see everyone else buying it, you get a denier. So as you see everyone doing good, you also want to do good. If you want the horse to run fast, you don't hit the horse, you just make it run with other fast horses. We need to find an environment that I sit with a person and I enjoy his company. Maaniya Rahimullah made the work of Tabir for them. They come out in Namaz. It's fun. When you come out, everyone is doing good, you also do good. Find some company. Either you buy the intervening, you make an effort. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if you don't buy the ether, at least the demand of the ether will catch you. So there will be some good in you. When you're doing evil, you always think, am I right, am I wrong, am I right, am I wrong? Just that am I right, am I wrong will do lots for you. You want to press that button. But suppose you were in some company, now suddenly you think, must I press it, mustn't I, mustn't I? And just that must I, mustn't I can change your future. In the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimullah, there was a man who used to sell the fabric. So he had his own bundle and he brought it to what was like Damascus. That time it was the time of the crusade, they had taken over this part, Salahuddin was attacking from that side. But there was a slight truce that was made. During the era of the truce, he landed in that area now. He said, since there is a truce, now I don't have to sell my things to one person, I rather open up a shop. And start selling my whole what I needed to sell, get my profits and go back. So he needed a certain amount of money, about 500 dirhams, that was what he was going to get from all his goods. And then he would return. First day he started selling to one girl, sister, one Christian girl. She came with her mother and they started buying. The first thing was when his eyes fell on this girl. And because of the beauty and his strength in the mind, so after a while he forgot his family, he forgot everything at home, he spoke to the mother. So the Christian woman in the ending, but Christians hated Muslims, although they were truth. So he said to the mother that I want to spend some time with your daughter. So the woman said, my daughter will never meet with you people. So he said, but ask her. So after a while she came back, she said, my daughter will give you one night. On condition that you give her to him. I think it was about 50 dirhams. So 50 dirhams to him was a lot because that's what he said. So he thought about it, but shahwa, desire. So finally he agreed and they met. He took a place at the beach. And then they met at night, they ate. And at night now everything was free. And now he lies down with her on the bed. At that moment the thing came, must I, mustn't I, must I, mustn't I. And perhaps he would never have thought, maybe once in his life, he's kept in the company of someone by. Something was troubling him. What a condition he is. He brought her right down to the bed. And he looked at the moon. And then he says, what a beautiful moon. And then he says, my Allah who made that moon, how can I get away Allah? What a child to say, amen. So he turned he thinks the other side is acceptable. That woman must have been like a husband. His wife's here, he's sleeping. So in the morning she woke up, so I thought that she went. So he went away. When he woke up now, he's also thinking, what did I do? Because I gave mine also for it. So he goes home, his infant is writing that that day when he's in the shop, he himself is telling himself, what an idiot you are. He said, why do you think you must be Junaid Baghdadi and Shibli and those people? You are normal men. Junaid Baghdadi is someone very pious. He said, you are pious, you. He said, how did you let the task go? All day he's telling himself. So it just happened that old auntie, she came, the mother, and he told her, that, you know what, can I speak to your daughter? And I said, what can I do? Daughter, no one will see your face. Upset. So in the ending he agreed, he made a second, I think, for 100 dirhams. Please, and it was a lot of money, and he gave it back also. And on the second meeting again, same thing happened. What a day, what a place, and then he looked that way and he slept away. But imagine just that, must I? And the time came again when he couldn't manage, so he told the mother 500 dirhams back then. 500 dirhams was whatever he was going to get on that journey. Everything. But just before he gave the money, the announcement came that the truth had broken. And Salahuddin is attacking. So they are in Muslims, they are not protected anymore, they better get out. Because now war is going to start. So quickly, quickly, he started selling whatever he could sell and he bought. When he reaches back in his area, now he's always thinking of that girl. And the war took place, and the Muslims conquered after that, the Battle of Qasim took place. It was a major victory for the Muslims, that so many slave girls were brought in. He went back to his homeland, and in their homeland, he started the trade of slavery. Many slaves, because a lot of slaves were coming in. So he opened up a slave market, and he would sell slaves, buy slaves, and he became famous in his area. So the time came that Salahuddin and Ali Ubi, the conqueror himself, because the man was known as a man who got top slaves of different things. So he went, sent someone to him to purchase a slave because they now you have a car. And you know that person, he was of the top grade. This person was known, he got top slaves. So they went, had a certain slave which was being sold for about 90 to 100 dirhams. And it appealed to Salahuddin and Ali Ubi a lot, that slave. So he asked the man, at that time the treasury of the Muslims of cash was very little because there was so much of war, everything was used. So he asked the treasurer, what we got? So he said, we got about 90 dirhams. So he said, okay, bring the 90 dirhams and ask the man to give us the slave, we need the slave. And that slave was about 100. So he said to him, and for the remaining 10 dirhams, that is that a lot of slaves are coming in today because there was a conquest. So from those slaves, for 10 dirhams, we can take one slave. And he lands up there and he sees that girl. She was brought in. And he can choose. So he selects her. Oh, it's the 10 dirhams. He said, what about things for one night? So he pulls her. And now he asks her, do you know me? So she doesn't know him. So he starts explaining to her, you remember when you were here, it was so long ago, and she was shocked. And he says, amazing, he says to her, my Allah is so amazing. That when I had you for 50 dirhams, you never allow me. And when I had you for 100 dirhams, you never allow. And because of that mujahada, I mean, he brought you to me. And only for 10 dirhams. You are so thrilled. But then he says to this girl, that if you accept Islam, I'll set you free. And I'll marry you. He said, I want to keep you as a slave. So she said, I'll be ready. She accepts Islam. He married her. And she falls pregnant. Why is this pregnant? The announcement comes that people are sent around in the different villages. So they come to him also, they say, Sir Sultan Salahuddin Ali Ubi has sent us. Our job is to go village to village and find those slaves, Christian slaves. Because the delegations have come from the Christian world and now they will be swapped. Muslim prisoners will be swapped, but you must hand over our prisoners. So the Sultan is saying that what you also got, they will pay you back the money that you must return. So the truth has been made again. So he looks now, he doesn't want to carry his wife now. So she notices on his face that he's going to lose her again. And now she's his wife, how is he? So he says, the announcement has come from there. So she says, but so what? I'm married to you. So he looks at her and says, when you won't go, so what must I go for? She says, but your mother, your family, your entire life is there. So he This is a very good. So she comes to the Sultan and the Christian delegation is there. And she says to them that, what must I go home for? I've got a child in my womb. I'm married to the prayer, I kept in Islam, what am I going to do in your name? So the people who were saying they were hard at the beginning and they gave up. As they gave up and she's going with the husband, so this man comes, one of the delegated people, and he gives her a box. And he says, your mother, she told me that I will find you also here, and I will bring you home. He said, but if something happens and my daughter refuses to come home, then give her this box. And say, like, now it's finished. So she opened the box, whatever the man had spent for the girl, he says, in that box was that 50 dirham. That one that he had given her for the first night was in the box. And that 100 dirhams was in the box. And he says, whatever material she had bought also, in that era when he met her, her mother had made clothing for her, that was also in the box. So he looked at her and said, what an Allah. That he gave you also, and he even gave the 10 dirham, the 50 dirham, the 100 dirham, even the clothing. He gave everything back. But what on what just because he was, Masa is doing. Just that. If you're sitting on that phone tonight, and you remember Maulana Ridwan's bayan about the phone, and you want to look, and you're just there to that since when you became the Imam of the Haram, you look. No one will ask you for dua. That moment thing, must die. And wallah, if you just do that, must die, pattern, that one move of yours can make you in the next era the worry of the day. Because Almighty Allah knows what difficulty is. You have to see, just to think, ask. The company of the buyer. If you don't buy the ether, at least the smell of the ether will hit you. You start questioning, must I do it? Who is that company? Who is that? And then he said, and the third man who sits is the person of Iqtar. He said, sometimes when you're sitting with a man who got Iqtar, and he looks at you and he says, you got no money to buy Iqtar. But because he is friends, sometimes very expensive Iqtar comes, and he takes that Iqtar and he gives it to you as a gift. And he says, for free I give you, that don't pay for it. He says, similarly that man who sits in the company of the buyer, no matter how weak he might be, but Almighty Allah sometimes becomes so happy with him that he says, I know you are the weakest of the weak and you're not going to buy it, you're not going to make any amal. But like how that man for free gives his friend the best of the ether, Almighty Allah says, for free I will make you my wali also. I was just selection. If you get divinely selected, suddenly you will find your desire case. Why did you interest you in the past, doesn't interest you in it? Now you're working on a different level. So find the company of the pious and you will see things will start happening in your life. And finally, the last example the Quran gives is Almighty Allah then says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Now you must become so strong, you start as an inshaAllah, mashaAllah, you just want from your friend. But that boy's tongue is a straining word, your tongue is a pure word. But that word that he knows is a alphabet which is dirty and filthy, yours is a beautiful word, Allah. Whatever he says when he gets angry, you don't ever say those words. You got Allah. What a tongue you got. Your inshallah and mashallah is part of your vocab. You started with that. And you're reading Quran, so you're already rising. Your entire body is being washed of filth and dirt. Then you found the company of the pious. In the company, I used to go to them and sit in the company. Or nowadays, with the WhatsApp and with the phone, you find a certain argument, you listen to his lecture, you say, what is his site? And his program is taking place, let's just download it. And now you're listening to it. It's playing in your mind that it's also the company. And your entire understanding of the world changes. Now you come on level 4 now. What will up from the Rabbikum? Now, Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to become brave now. And now to defy the whole world. As the waves are moving that way, you swim in this way. The wind is going in one direction, you go in another direction. The whole world is going to one path, you go into the masjid. Everyone is telling you, we like this, you think I'm like this. You are just a man, you are holding up. Now you must be so brave that you Krishna saying that truth has come from Allah. I am different now. There is no pure pressure. I put pressure on other people. That's why when you got knife and it's deeper. So I asked him that, what will knife do for you? Then I also got a slipper, it cost me 20 and you got a slipper, it cost me 200 bucks, and that's why you all got knives. If man lives in the world of fashion, we were introduced to something called a catwalk. Catwalk to someone in America walks like a cat there, because I don't know why he's got a catwalk. But as he walks, they'll show his shoe. So the whole world will see him buy that shoe. And they'll show his sock. Whatever they show now, it comes in the man's mind that if I wear what he got, I'm unique. And if I got the phone he got, I'm unique. I got the car he got, that's why you see a young boy, he can't even drive. But if he steps in a Ferrari, he immediately says that way. I became big. A time will come in life when you will drive a lot of Ferrari. But you will understand the Ferrari never make me big. I am big because I got Iman. Whether I got a Ferrari or not, Rasulullah also entered Makkah Mukarrama as a conqueror, he entered on a donkey. Because the donkey will not make the Nabi of Allah low also, and the camel will make him high also. He wants to teach me and you. You must be so unique that if you have to wear a tall kurta to school and everyone laughs at you, it doesn't affect you one bit. And if a brand new cloth comes to you and you wear it, you only thank Allah, but it doesn't change you. If you have to get a simple phone or no phone, you still the same. You are you because you are you, not because of what's around you. But we enter in a world, and I end up with example, non-global principle always says, there one man went hunting, and he shot a lion. So after going to the lion to make his trophy, his prize, he found the cub of the lion. Maybe one or two, how many cubs? So he must have taken one, he gave his friend couple and they went. So one father got a cub. So what to do with the cub? He said the best for the cub now is to put it with the sheep, goat. So he had his whole herd of goats there, and now this small baby cub is going to play with the goat. So a couple of things would happen to that cub now as he grows up. Because he grew up out of his environment, and that's what happened to me and you. I grew up in front of a television, and you also grew up in front of television. We grew up thinking Superman is really super. But in our mind, when my father bought me pajamas of Superman and Spiderman, I was 12. So when I put it on, I actually tried to climb, but I broken my leg. So I thought the clothing will make me great. That's why you see a young boy with him a gun, he didn't poof poof, he starts shooting, and you know, the gun got no bullet. It's in the mind. Someone asks you, who's your hero? The only reason you will say a soccer player is because it's in your mind, he plays good soccer. Is he really good? If you ask yourself, you say, there's nothing grand about him at all. But it's in my mind. So because his number might be number 2 or number 3 or number 7, when I play soccer, I actually have number 7. I met one friend in England, I asked him, why do you wear this keeper? He said, when I wear this keeper, I score goals. What a thing, because that's why you score goals. This is the mind. So that cow now grew up with a goat. So a couple of things happened to him, it happened to me and you. The first thing is the cow forgot that he got his own talk. So he started learning the talk of the goat. So the goat went deep, whatever, deep. We grew up with our friends whose every word was sway. So we also thought that's how you talk, sway. We never heard inshallah, mashallah, Allah. So we never had the jamaat. When anything happens, Allah Akbar and the whole building is for us. We never learned it. So we bleated like a goat. He also bleated. But the difference between a goat and a lion is a goat will be a goat till he dies. But a lion, if he tries to become a goat, even if he tries with all his might, the goat will laugh at him. That's what happened with me and you. When we were in an environment of non-Islam, we also tried to be like a non-Muslim. But I couldn't do anything. So I told my one friend he's drinking beer. But I like drink beer. So I used coke. And I drank that. Just because I can at least do something like this. I saw him doing one haram, I couldn't do it, but something like it. I got the clothes, he was ready, so I said, I also want to wear the same clothes. But whatever I did, he still laughed. We all had non-Muslim friends in school. We always had lemons, we couldn't go past the lemons. And whenever we couldn't jump the lemons, they would laugh at us. They had a cigarette, you know, and smoke. So I said, no, they say you are sissy. I said, no, we don't smoke at home, but nothing, you are sissy. A drug came, you don't want to take a drug, no, you are sissy. What's stopping me? I know it's haram, I learned in madrasa, but you are sissy. No matter what the lion tries to do, the boat always laughs. The lion will change his clothing also. Every day the lion is crying because the lion is brown. But the lion wants to be white. We also grow up because the white man is the important man. So you see, no matter what the color of a person is, he's always putting on whitening cream. I want to become white. I want to talk white. I want to look white. Why? In his mind, is if you're white, you mean better. And if you're not white, you're not. So the lion is to scrub. The lion is to bleed. The lion is to do what the goat would do. So the goat would jump. So the lion, poor lion, he got his own unique jump that he's trying to hop. So every time he hopped, he fell on his head. And they always laugh. We had our own sport. That boy was in Delhi, I want to learn arrows, bow and arrow, I want to learn horse riding. I want to learn things that will make me a master in the world. I want to swim, I want to mountain climb. I want to learn how to parachute. These are things that will one day make me someone. But because we only had the life, the goal, so our only exercise was that I'll play soccer. I jumped. And in that soccer, I broke my leg, I broke my arm, I broke my whole body. But all I could do, the most the guy did was he left to Harula and kicked the ball. But besides that, he couldn't do it. He could only play cricket. But more than that, because he never saw it. Now he wants you to become unique. Then I'll be different. I will shoot that arrow and hit the target. I will learn how to shoot a gun on the top. Don't be a toy gun anymore. Don't be there. I said, I got a life to learn. From a young age, I must learn how to shoot. And my aim must become so great. We went to one eye, said, with my right hand, now I can shoot with my left hand exactly. Then in an art, you have to grow up on it. He said, I can get on a horse with a gun on my back. To jump on a horse is no easy thing, but he had a life to live. To live in this game, to become that lion again. There is nothing to say but the poor sheep and goats, they always laugh at it. So as the lion grew bigger, he always felt, you know, me, I'm hopeless. And me and you do the same. We have understood our life is the phone, is the car, is the sport. We got no life. And then one day the poor lioness is walking in the jungle, he meets lioness. When lioness comes in front and the eyes meet, first time in his life he says, that where you came from, handsome. He never heard you were handsome before. Because me and you also, whoever went to school, ask them, is the beard smart or not? And that boy will say, not so smart. Why? Because he always loves what the animals who don't have beard. So he began thinking that if I shave my beard, I'm handsome. And if I grow a beard, no girl will marry me. But what a unique life that is. Because we find in the Muslim world, those people who got big beards, they got four wives. And the people who got no beard are looking for wives. How that man got boy? But he was living with the wrong group. Wrong group. So he said, handsome, he got a shock of his life. He said, me handsome. You handsome, but always he looked at the wrong people. Allah Ta'ala said, they will never become happy with you until you lose your iman. They will never be happy. The lion said, wow, you are thrilled. So to thank her, to say, handsome, how are you handsome? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, what's this? Yeah. That's how he learned to talk. So he said, you're raw. You are lying. He said, I don't know how to raw, but you are inside. Like how we all want Allah. Sunni, you never learn how to take it off. You need that company to pull it off. You are different in the world. For you, it's an imam on the head, a servant. It's a kurta. It's a jutta. It's an adam. There's my horse there. There's my weapons there. There's my musalla there. When you're going to make the holidays are coming, I'm going in the path of Allah. The whole world looks like to bring them back to Allah. Where are you going now? I'm standing up with the Hajjit. And the whole world is sleeping, I'm standing up and crying in front of Allah. Someone say, what do you do at night sending messages to who? I'm sending messages to Allah. Your head is on the phone, my aunt in dua. You will find young boys have also woken up in the past with the Hajjit. And they can walk in today also. The alarm is ringing, the mother says, what's wrong with him? She goes in the room, she sees a 5-year-old. Yes, why? Because suddenly he learns that I have to be different from the world. I am not a normal person, I am someone unique. I have been connected to a divine magnet. Now the lion has saved him. He says, you are not a goat. You are different in the world. You are the king of the whole jungle. But the only thing is you forgot who you are. That's all. So she takes him to the water and says, I want you to look in this water. And do you look like a boat or do you look like a light? When you go home today, ask yourself that I am Ahmed. So my Ahmed is it me or is John? Because my outside is John, but my inside is clean. I am Ahmed. I am the ambassador of the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am that man that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one day to his Sahaba. I can't wait to meet my friends. Sahaba asked, are we not your friends? He said, you are my companions. My friends are those who have to come later on. They have not seen me, but they give their lives to be with me. So I can't wait to meet my friends. Me and you are the friends. When I stand in front of the mirror, suddenly I say, I'm not Sam and I'm not John. I am Muhammad. And hear the roar. And you will see all life will change. The company will change. The phone will change. What's on the phone will change. Your libraries will change. When you are first at dirt, you will start becoming pure. When you are corporate, you will start getting bitter. When you are funny checks, you will support an imam or father. Your clothing will change. The spirit that I must have a night here, I must have a night here, even my jockey must be night. I said, God, I don't understand what you want to do with a branded jockey. I said, here the person will know what shirt you wear and the trouser you wear. But I said, I can't understand who feels important if you got a nice jockey. And then your private partner will say, at least now I'm protected. Yeah, you can do anything. But it's in the mind. Some unique. Now when the lion returns back, suddenly he was to put a lion. Now his walk was different, his honor was different, his stance was different. In front of the goats, the lion would have attacked, we won't attack. But we will look at the whole world with the eyes of sympathy and mercy. That I am walking every day to Jannah. We are walking every day to Jannah. I am every day living under the waterfall of Allah. We are every day living under the curse of Allah. My example is the example in the name of this, is the example of one person who stood on the railway line, and as that train went past, then he looked in first class, and he saw a man sitting there, and he said, wow, the travel first class is top. And then as the class went, he saw a man in the last class. That man had a couple of bags, and there was flies moving around, it was open also, he said, got one for free maybe. So he looked at that man, and he said, how, I pity this man. So what he looked on the outside, like how me and you look at the Ferrari he got, the building he got, the shop he got, but he forgot to look inside. So then Islam came, and Islam only never judge the world from outside, you have to get onto the train. Come and go on the train, this is Quran. Islam and Quran, thou took my hand and your hand and took us to first class, you want to be in first class, let's see what it is. So when we came to first class, you all want to travel first class. But suddenly in first class, instead of seeing the man smiling, we found him dead. And the food that was in front, he's not eating it. So you ask him that what lovely food you got. You got the wealth of the world around you. How come you dead? And I want you to do this. When you see that smiling face on that board, your American star, your Hollywood star, you see them in the newspapers and what a smile as though they are the happiness in the world is alive. Look behind and smile and you will see this person is living under the curse of all these jhanas. They can't sleep at night. They have to put out a smile for the jhana. So he tells the jhana, you got everything in the world, you're not smiling. So the jhana won't answer. He's just looking at his food, but he's not talking. So Quran will tell me and you, that you know what happened? This man has been found guilty of murder. His case is already finished. Judgment has been passed. He asked for pardon, he wasn't given the pardon. Now they put him on the train to go to get executed. As the train is going, with the turn of every wheel, this man is coming closer and closer to his destruction. How do you think he will eat the food? He's asking. That man who is away from Allah every day when he sleeps, he knows that whether I die tomorrow, I don't know. He heard his brother died, he died. Then he didn't want to die. Why tell you your brother died, not you? And we meet those people, he says, my brother died at 65, and my sister died at 65. And now he's scared, you want to worry, he said, I'm 65 now. I'm the guy. How he lives? Now you go to the last class. That man is by holding his bag. There are flies moving around him. His clothes are tattered and torn. But you see him smiling. You ask him, how can you smile? He said, why shouldn't I smile? He said, I have come from a land where I was sent by my family to do work. He said, as I did work there, I always sent money back home. I always sent, I kept little for me, he said, Lord. Until finally my mother has now written to me that my son, you have done well. And we put up our own empire here. Everything is ready, the land is bought, the house is up, the money you have sent is mubarak. Now we want you only. Only person missing of happiness is you, come away. So he says, with the money that I had, I sold everything. Everything. And I converted whatever money I had into the currency I'm running to now. Is there anything I was thinking about what ticket to buy? So I said, rather send more money back home, and I bought a cheap ticket. He said, I know it's looking heavy, my condition, but he says, remember, at the next station, my own family is dead. They'll take my bag. I will be taken for a shower. He said, if you have to visit me tomorrow, you won't find me like this. Tomorrow, everyone is coming to meet me. Everyone is going to thank me. It's because of your money that you said you have given happiness to us all. He said, from tomorrow, my death has come. He said, but the turn of every wheel, my happiness increases. That person who's connected to Allah, every day, that he moves one step further to his death, he brings another smile on his face. I'm coming away from a life. How many days left of Allah? And that person who's not connected, every time he heard of his death, he died. And the man is connected when he sleeps at night, he says, one more left night. Bilal radiallahu anhu, on his death, his wife started crying. He said, what to cry for? Tomorrow I will meet my companion, friend Muhammad. I want to go. This is about Allah, put it in mind and God. It started with a message of death, it ended with a message of death. I want to die. But until death, I got a road to walk. On this road, my tongue will become inshallah, mashallah. My life will become Quran in the company of the pious. And then I will rise above the rest of the world. And when I see the world going in one direction, I will walk in the other direction. I will be a lion, and everyone around me can be goats and sheep, what they want. But I will find my honor within, not without. It will not be clothing, it will not be phones, it will not be cars, it will not be cash and money. My honor is me. My honor is in the musalla. My honor is when my hands walk and say, oh Allah. And I know my Allah is listening from the top of the heaven. That's my honor. Ya Allah, tawarakallah, put it deep in our hearts. The times are changing, revolutions are coming. And for revolutions, every new era, every spring takes out a new flower. In the new era of Islam, the new garden won't be old people like me and the old people. It will be the new flower. That young boy who is 5 years, 6 years, he will come in his heart that I want to be the next ambassador of Islam. But if it comes in your heart, make it. Say, oh Allah, I'm ready. And wallah, that man who says I'm ready and he gets divinely selected, in the next 20 years he will shock the whole world. That father who got it in his heart, he must say, oh Allah, I couldn't do it, but I make my son walk for a deed. I hand him over. In the past I wanted him to be a doctor, I wanted him to be a lawyer. Oh Allah, all forgotten, I want him to be your duty. You see. And when Allah tomorrow can accuse him, the world will see a change. The whole world. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, mother of Maryam radiallahu anha, when her mother was pregnant, she just said one thing. She said, oh Allah, the child in the womb, I have made it walk for you. That one word of hers and it made that the mother of one of the greatest Anbiya that came in the world. You made that intention. That oh Allah, my son, my daughter, I hand it over. And the child makes that intention, I hand myself over. And when things are accepted on the top by the house of Allah, then the world will see unique things happening. May Allah tawakkal.